Good evening to all. It's nice to see you online and here. This topic we're going to talk about tonight came to me last week. But since last week was a last Wednesday of the month, so I'm glad it was already prepared. What is inferiority complex? And sometimes we forget. Inferiority complex becomes a shadow on everything, not just your spiritual path, but even your life, daily life. Because inferiority complex is one of the root cause of jealousy. And we talk about how people in the scriptures that we've heard about, how they actually have inferiority complex. And how that affected them until they realize that it's nothing that God encourages them to dwell in. Because God never feels insecure or inferior to anything or anyone he created. So why should we, when we are created in that pure spirit of God, feel inferior to anything or to our fellow beings? An inferiority complex is a psychological term that describes a persistent feeling of inadequacy, insecurity, and self-doubt. It is characterized by negative self-perception. When we keep criticizing ourselves, we think that's part of it. Individuals with an inferiority complex tend to believe they're inferior to others in various aspects of their lives, such as intelligence, physical appearance, or social skills. And also, we must not forget what guides everything in life: the spiritual part of us. They may have a diminished sense of their own worth and capabilities. They often compare themselves unfavorably to others, feeling envious or resentful, which we know jealousy is. Some might overlook this, but it's something that if we pay attention to, we see around us, and it's happening in this country as we speak. Some individuals may attempt to compensate for their perceived inferiority by overachieving, being overly critical of themselves, or seeking external validation. Even inferiority complex is one of those elements that shows up in narcissism. People being narcissistic, you know, people might think, oh, they get, no, it's because they try to hide that inferiority complex. So when people are boastful, when they, you know, over-exaggerate, when they say, oh, I'm the best leader in the world, everything is fantastic, fantabulous, pay attention. What is pumping them to do that? And tyrants tend to do that. Even though they might tell you they are not inferior to anyone. But if you dig down and you find out, like, what led to this? And sometimes that is also created from our youth, depending on how we're raised. Because you will see a sibling jealous of the other one because they feel inferior to the other one. Why do my parents are always talking about this one? What about me? Don't I deserve an acknowledgement? An inferiority complex can also lead to withdrawal. Others may withdraw from social situations or avoid challenges due to fear of failure. And when all of these things become persistent and interfere with our daily life or spiritual life, then it becomes the underlying psychological issue or foundation. And this is what Carl Jung, a Swiss psychiatrist, this is what he said. Because he is one of those who is credited for theorizing that why people can have complexes. Complexes can have people. That it has you in its grip, and you don't even know it's shaping the way you live your life, the way you relate to others. According to his thought, they call it the Jungian thought, the way to overcome an unconscious complex is to become aware of it. If you're aware of it, you can do something about it. When it grabs you by the throat, you know how to let it go. He says you must never cower to your inferiority complex, whatever it may be that makes you feel inferior. And that's where Spirit of God says, you cannot. God did not create you with that. And what does the scripture actually say about the inferiority complex? The Bible speaks to the issue of inferiority complex, not by name, but by addressing feelings of inadequacy and insecurity that are conditioned to the human experience. God says, and each of us need to affirm, I created you in my image. So why should you compare yourself to others? I mean, we know from what the Bible says from the book of Genesis, God created us in his image. So, and each of us have different talents. Appreciate what is yours, celebrate it, and help others celebrate theirs. There will be no reason for you to compare and feel inferior. And God's love and acceptance of us is total. It's not based on your achievements or social standing. So there's no need for you to be competing with the others. Say, well, I'm as good as you are. So why do you, who do you think you are? There is no need to be an overachiever. If that's what Spirit wants for you, that's what you're going to become. Whatever role we're supposed to play in our life. If you are meant to be famous and go viral and be rich and all of that, that's what's going to happen. If you are meant to be in the lower rung, not because God thinks you are less than the others, that's how, because only God knows the truth. We all need to evolve to get to a place where it is all God. And the story I will tell tonight will tell you and the qualities of life that we feel God values more has nothing to do with the external. God values qualities like humility, compassion, and faith over outward appearances and worldly achievements. So just because somebody is humble doesn't mean they feel inferior, you know. And if you see a humble person, they might be one of the greatest achievers, but you will not. Somebody who has compassion. It doesn't mean it's because they feel inferior. So all these qualities that makes God happy, if you want to use that, are things that you cannot grade. Compassion is not about competing with others. Or do I do for you the, you know, oh, I'm the best compassionate person in the world. Who does that? And faith has nothing to do with your achievement. You see that you wake up to it, you are waking to it, you woke up to it, or you evolve into it. At one point or the other, whether we like it or not, all of us, we come to the door of the true faith in God. If anytime you find yourself being jealous or being envious or comparing yourself, you may want to become aware. Where is it coming from? It could be that inferiority complex that you don't even, somebody say you have it, oh, they may swell up and down, I don't have it. You may want to look into it. One of the first people in the scriptures that we know that has inferiority complex is Moses. People would think because it's bigger than life, all the things he did and the way, you know, his temper is. Because when he was first called, when God first called him, he couldn't believe it. You know, in Exodus 4, verses 1 to 17, Moses initially resists God's call to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, citing his perceived inadequacies, such as his speech impediment, as if God cares about that. God says, I created you in my image. If I call you to go do that, you know I've given you the capability and everything you need to go do it. But no, he won't, no matter he won't, then God said, okay, take your brother Aaron with you. So you speak through him. And then when God say, okay, take this staff, throw it, he's like, well, they have all these magicians, they have, you know. So when you look at the life of Moses, if you pay attention to, eventually he has to evolve past that inferiority complex. Because God is showing who God is. I'm with you. An inferiority complex also leads to fear and anxiety. Look at Elijah. After God has done wonderful things, fire coming and all of that, he still feels inadequate, you know. That complex line. If God brought fire from heaven through me to do things, and somebody, you know, a leader said, I'm going to do this to you, I said, oh, bring it on. Come and see God's wonder. No, what did he do? He ran to the mountains. God, Jezebel said, by the time I'm done with you, you will wish you were never created. Jeremiah also acted like Moses. He expresses his feeling of inadequacy due to his youth and inability to speak eloquently. When God wants to use you, it's not about eloquence. You may even stutter and the word comes out, but it's very powerful and it will transform people who needs to hear that when they hear it. Of course, we know about Paul. Because they so put it there. Paul acknowledges his own weaknesses and struggles, but also emphasizes that God's power is made perfect in his weakness, because you know that's the only way. Then he finally surrenders his inferiority complex, because he's done everything to be free of that. Nothing was working for him. And we know Zacchaeus, the tax collector, because he was physically short and felt inferior. But Jesus saw his heart and accepted him and said, Zacchaeus, tonight, you know. And of course, the ultimate symbol of inferiority complex, Gideon. Gideon, first of all, is the black sheep of his family. That's how he sees himself. And the family is also like on the lowest rung. So when God called him to, because he's been praying, like, God, you see what they are doing to us. And so he thought God were going to bring somebody, some Messiah from somewhere to God said, I'm going to use his head. God, I think you missed the boat. Are we talking about me? I don't think so. Because, first of all, even my family won't listen to me. And then, not to talk about the whole tribe or even my community. Let me pull that of Gideon. It always really makes me makes me chuckle. So Gideon, despite being chosen by God to lead Israel against the Midianites, Gideon expressed his doubts, questioning his ability and the perceived weakness of his family and clan. This internal struggle is a common theme in biblical narratives and highlights how even those called by God can grapple with personal insecurities. So when an angel of the Lord first appeared to Gideon, telling him he would be a mighty warrior, Gideon questioned his ability and the strength of his family, saying, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And Gideon wasn't just going to say, okay, because you are God, I'm going to, oh yeah, I will yield. No. He needs assurances. So Gideon sought multiple signs from God to confirm his divine calling and strength, indicating his deep-seated doubt and fear. And you can't bet against God. You can grumble, you can hesitate. Eventually, you will do what God wants you to do. So, and that's what happened to Gideon. Despite his initial hesitation, Gideon ultimately obeyed God's call and led a small army to victory against the much larger Midianite forces. Because they were going to be like thousands. And God said, no, just bring these few ones, 100. At 200, 300 going to go against, you know, that's where you know who is in charge. And we've seen it over and over in the Bible, where God often chooses those who feel inadequate, using their perceived weakness to demonstrate his power and glory. And in Gideon's case, God affirmed that he would be with him and that his perceived weakness would never hinder God's plan. So next time you are feeling that there's something God has chosen for you to be in life. And if God hasn't deserted you, you don't need to desert yourself. You don't need to keep yourself, you know, feeling inadequate, feeling inferior to others. Remember David? How when Prophet Samuel went looking, okay, that's going to be the next king because Saul has blown it. And God and the father were bringing the brothers and all of that. And Prophet Samuel saw, like, no, said there's one more who is, oh, they say, you mean the sheep herder that we sent to? That's it. Yeah. Of course, David didn't show inferiority complex. He actually have God complex. Because when God is there, he feels, when Goliath stood like, oh. And the brother couldn't believe it when David says, oh yeah, send me to the front of the battlefield, I'll do so. The brother, look, you little ones. He's always had that, not inferiority complex, but God complex.
Which brings me
To the story we're going to hear tonight. And that story
the story of
two individuals who are religious leaders or only spiritual leaders from two different spiritual paths. One, we may call him a priest or a pastor. The name is Chop Chop. And call him Priest Chop Chop. And the other one is Prophet. God is one. All are one. So, Prophet, God is one, all are one. So, when you meet him, you say, oh, Prophet, God is one, then he responds, all are one. After traveling through many countries, Prophet, God is one, finally reached a place where he felt, oh, this is where I'm going to settle down. But before that, there had been a priest called Chop Chop who used to live on the hills of this location in Kafanchan. Kafanchan is spelled Kafanchan, which is like 32 miles from Timbuktu. If you go to Timbuktu looking for Kafacha, you won't find it. So, Prophet, God is one, decided to stay at the foothills. But there was a priest already leading on the top of the hill. When the people came to know Prophet All is One, they even loved the name All is One. We are one. He's telling them, you don't need to compare yourself to anyone. You don't need to feel inferiority about anything because God created you in His image and God's got your back. You may face challenges, but you will overcome. Won't people be drawn to that? Somebody who inspires them, who lets them know. Unlike the priest that says, you don't give me this, you're going to hell. You're going to be consumed and all of that. So people begin to come to him and talk about God. Soon, numerous people started to gather around Prophet All is One. So the prophet, pastor, priest Chop Chop, who lives on top of the hill, actually his building, his house, and a big house too, was by a spring of fresh water, which was the only source of water for the people of the town. So if he decides to control that, they won't have water because they relied on that spring water for their basic need. Of course, Priest Chop Chop is very arrogant, he's full of himself. And when he saw the people going to Prophet, God is one, He got jealous and angry. Why did he feel jealous and angry? Complex. He felt inferior because he's been living there all this time. And he felt, look, I'm the one allowing you to get the water, and you guys don't come to me in the way you come to Prophet All This One. So he thought of teaching the people a lesson. So he's going to stop the spring water from flowing down to the town. And once the water is not flowing effortlessly, people begin to get, they, you know, people are, you know, your daily needs, so they are troubled by this. So they realize the water was no longer flowing the way it used to. So they went to priest Chop Chop and begged him to let the water flow down from the spring as like it was before. Priest Chop Chop was full of anger. And this is what he said. He refused and said, go to Prophet All Is One, the one you visit every day, and ask for water from him. Yeah, if he feels all this one, you are all one. Let's see if he's going to give you water. So the people had no option. They went to Prophet All This One and told him everything. Prophet All This One said, don't lose your heart. Trust God. He will not let you die of thirst. Because that has always been his message. Everything is positive. God is with you. God is there, even when you don't see God, no matter what your challenges are. Have faith, trust, pray to God, call, and God will answer. Knock, the door will be open. Then Prophet All This One sent one of his disciples, now he has people that he's teaching, to go to priest Chop Chop and appeal to him to let the water flow down so that the people can. But what did the priest say? Go back to your to the prophet and ask him to give water to the people. Since he's the one that everybody is going to. Let's see all the oneness he's talking about, if that would do it for him.
So now people are still in trouble.
The water is no longer flowing. So they became more and more worried. They went to Prophet All This One for solution. And he kept saying, don't lose your heart. God can make spring flow from wherever he wishes. He sent his disciple back. The same story. Like, no. You provide for the people. Let's hear the oneness he's talking about. So when Prophet All This One says, don't lose your heart. God can make spring flow from whatever he wishes. He said, let us all pray to him. Because we're all created in his image. Let's pray to God. They all prayed. And the prophet got the inspiration to lift up a stone. And the moment he lifted up that stone, at once, a stream of fresh water began to flow from that place where he lifted the stone. Remember Moses parting the Red Sea and all the red? Yeah. When God, who's already in you, chooses to do miracles, the miracles are always astounding. But because you don't know it, you feel inadequate. And when God says it's time, you know, for your deliverance, for your blessings to come, nobody can stop, because there's only one. All is one. God is one. At the moment he lifted that stone and the fresh water starts flowing, guess what happened to Prophet Chop Chop's spring water? It dried up. Now he was even raging. You would think for a person who says he's a priest of God, he would know. He was raging with anger. What did he do? He pushed a large rock from the top of the hill towards Prophet All Is One. The rock came rolling down towards Prophet All Is One. Priest Chop Chop thought that rock would crush the prophet. But to his surprise, what happened? When God is with you, all is well. Prophet, God is one, quietly raised his hand, and the rock stopped at that instant. Stop right there where the prophet hand is. And as it came to the stop, the prophet's hand was imprinted on that rock. Seeing this, priest Chop Chop, his pride, his inferiority complex, and his jealousy was all broken up. And he came down and fell at Prophet God is One's feet because he realizes what the prophet was saying. God is one, all is one. Because he did not hold any grudges towards him. But you are a perfect being of God. Just because you feel that inferiority complex, that's not God doing that. That's you. So Prophet God is One said, my friend, rise up. Let us live as devotee of God should live. Let us be kind and share with everyone, and let all our fears, jealousy, inferiority complex, let them be gone. Leave it at the footstool of God, just like that rock is there. That rock still exists today, and they all call it God is One, and everybody shouts, all is one. May we always feel that presence of God, that there is nothing for us to compare ourselves to, except to the one who created us in wholeness. Amen.